Man, it's going to be a good day. Are you ready for this? Yeah, I hope you are. I got something to talk about that I'm really, really excited to talk about. And when I tell you what it is, you're probably not going to be excited. But hang in there, because by the end of our time together today, I think you might come into a place of freshness, a place of wholeness, a place of healing, a place of just joy that you might not have been before you came in today. We're talking about grace. It's our fourth time talking about grace. And I'm going to be looking at grace and the prerequisite of grace, which is sin. Ooh. Yeah, let's pray about that. Okay, God, thank you for our time and for your truth. And I'm asking, God, as I dig into this, difficult thing that we don't want to think much about and talk much about, that you would meet us in a great place and you bring us to a great place. I ask you to help me to be clear, not just compelling, but most importantly, helpful and in alignment with your truth. And I'm honored, God. I'm honored that I get to talk about transcendent, important concepts like this. So I hope you're pleased. And I pray these things according to the character and identity of Jesus. Amen. All right, in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verse 22, here's what it says. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ is for all who believe. All who believe. Young, old, white, black, yellow, male, female, all who believe. There is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No distinction, because all of us sin. What does that mean? Sin means there's this person of God and his glory and his goodness, his love, his perfection, his standards, and we all fall short. No distinction. No distinction on who he is. No distinction on who we are. We fall short. And then it continues. And we are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Grace, a gift. Justified. As we fall short, we are justified. Because it's a gift. Man, it's so good. You know, there's words that we like to say and are pretty common to say. Words like mistake, problem, issue, a shortcoming I may have. And I have all of those and more. Let me tell you something about some of the mistakes I've made. When I was in high school, man, I don't know how I literally lived through high school. And I don't know how I got through high school without literally killing somebody. I was a hardcore drinker. And this was in a day when you could drive drunk and you weren't supposed to, but like it wasn't a big thing back then, and a lot of us did it. Graduated in 1983, and I remember many, many times pulling into my parents' garage with my their Chevy Citation, hands on the wheel, and going, wait a minute, how did I get here? I don't remember anything from the party until here. Terrifying and stupid and indefensible. It was a massive, massive mistake, to say the least. And then going into and through college and in my 20s, I made a lot of mistakes as it related to just personal drive and personal discipline. I didn't have a lot of drive. I didn't have a lot of discipline. I skated my way through everything and took shortcuts and everything and didn't want to do anything that was difficult. And of course, studying would be difficult, so didn't want to do that. And somehow, crazily, not only did I get an education, I got jobs, and I get paid really, really well. Thank you very much for your generosity. I would have never thought that I would have had any level of drive. And no one knew me thought I would have in college and my early 20s. It was mistakes. I had issues. I still make mistakes. A couple months ago, I made a whole series of mistakes. I'm a hunter. I love hunting, and so I have these deer cameras, and they take pictures of deer that I want to kill. Here's some of them right here. These guys, I had their number. I wanted them badly. And going after these guys, I made mistake. I've never made as many mistakes hunting as I have. A lot of mistakes, and probably because some of you are praying that I don't get a deer. I know what you're doing. I know. Some of you are really bothered I'm talking about this. I probably should stop talking about it because you're all praying, or many of you are praying that I don't get a deer. Well, God said yes to your prayer because he said yes to your prayer of me not getting a big buck. I got two does anyway because the meat is amazing. Fantastic. People, isn't it gamey? No, it's freaking awesome. No hormones in it. Just grass-fed. It's phenomenal. Anyway, all kind of mistakes. But, you know, it's one thing to talk about our mistakes. It's another thing to talk about this three-letter word, sin. Sin is the truth that God has a standard and I don't meet it. God wants me to be here because that's where he is, and I fall short of that glory. Sin is there's a bullseye, and I miss the mark on that bullseye. We miss the mark on that bullseye. And here's the thing. No one wants to talk about our sin. We want to talk about our mistakes. We want to talk about our challenges, our problems. All that's fine, but my sin? And let me tell you why we don't want to talk about our sin. It's because we don't understand grace. The more you understand the amazing grace of God, the more you embrace the powerful, mystical, awe-inspiring truth of the grace of God that he loves and gives mercy as a gift, the more you understand, comprehend, and embrace that, the more comfortable you will be talking about your sin and dealing with your sin, because your sin no longer is a source of shame and something that scares you, because it's cloaked, it's covered by the grace of God. That's good news. At any moment, if you want to clap, you can do that. And maybe this is an entirely new concept for a lot of us. You can't clap at all because you're like, wait, I don't understand. I know you don't understand this because this is really, really strange. There's nothing in our current cultural context that helps us to understand grace and sin. And there's two lies, if you will. Two lies, they're on opposite ends of the spectrum, but they're both far, 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 far away from grace. The first lie goes something like this, and you may believe this even if you've never said it. I'm an understandably flawed person who just needs a few helpful spiritual principles. That's all I need. We're all flawed. We all make mistakes. I'm understandable. And all I need is a few helpful spiritual principles. I'd rather get them from Jesus, or I get them from Buddha, or get them from whoever it is. That's actually a line that comes from the Christian psychologist Larry Crabb, who spoke here at Crossroads some time ago. He died a few years ago. But this is kind of where normal America is. We're that way. Like, hey, sin, stop. Repentance, I'm not that bad. I'm fine. I'm flawed like everybody else. Just need a little oomph of spirituality. And then the other extreme, it's also a lie, goes something like this. I'm horrible, but I'm trying to work it out. This comes more likely from somebody who identifies as a Christian, somebody who goes to church. We're like, yeah, sin, I get it. I am that. I'm horrible. I've done some horrible stuff. I am a wretch. I am a worm. I embrace that identity, and I'm trying to work it out, trying to figure it out, trying to do all the right stuff, trying to invite people to Super Bowl service, trying to volunteer in kids' club, trying to tithe, make a push for 10x commitment, separate my recycling, all that stuff. I'm trying to do all those things. And all those things are fine. All those things are good to do. But those things are not grace. Those things won't get us over our sin. Constantly reminding myself that I'm horrible and I don't match up. May be true that we don't match up, but it's not true because God has grace for you. He has love for you. He has mercy for you. He has acceptance for you, even when we don't understand how that could possibly be. This is the core of Jesus' message. In the book of Mark, the very first thing Jesus says, the very first thing he teaches when he goes public is this. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. We've shared this before, and I'm going to give it again because sometimes we forget, and this ties right into what we're looking at here. All right, let's say we have a time frame. Oh, I want to make this a little bit larger here. And of course, it just went away on me. There he is. Let's say we've got a time frame. Goes kind of like this. Jesus says, the time is at hand. There's two words for time in the ancient world or in Greek. The first word for time is chronos, which is where we get chronological from. It's chronological time. So on our timeline, chronological line, time is that repeatable pattern. Seconds become minutes, become hours, become days, become weeks, become months, become years, become decades, become millennia, right? That boom, 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 boom. But that's not the word that Jesus used here. When he says the time is at hand, he's talking about another word. That word is the word kairos. And that word is this sense of bam, oh my gosh, boom, something. At a moment in time, at a point right here, something happened. So Jesus says, the time has come, meaning bam, at this moment here, the Son of God has come to the world. God himself has taken on flesh, and the grace of God has become physical. Bam. There are moments for you where something will happen and you'll see something about God you weren't expecting to see. You'll feel something about God you haven't felt before. You'll understand something you haven't understood before. Tonight, if it hasn't been already, tonight may be a kairos moment for you. It's like, boom, ooh, something just happened. What happens when we have one of those moments? Well, let's follow the pattern of Jesus here. He says, repent and believe the gospel. So what we do is that kairos hits, we kind of circle up a little bit. Go, let's go around the circle. Let me think about this. What has taken place here? And there's two parts of repentance. He says, repent and believe the gospel. Gospel is good news. Repent. Repent means to change your mind. Repentance, the word there in Greek, which this is written in, is metanoia. Meta, change. Noia, which is where we get the idea of noggin, or your mind, change of mind. So when I'm going this way and I change my mind, I go, oh, I change my mind. And when I change my mind, I change my thought pattern and I change my direction. So when we repent, that means we do things like we reflect. We notice something. We think. What just took place? There's mental things that are happening. Maybe there's regret. There's these things that happen in our mind, and then when we refocus, I could probably put that up there too, refocus, when we refocus, we go a different direction. You know, where you look is where you're gonna go. If you look inward all the time at all your pain, guess where you're gonna go? Inward in all your pain all the time. If you look back at your past all the time, guess where you're gonna live? In the past. You're gonna go in the past. Wherever you look, wherever your mind's eye goes, that's where you go. So if you're going towards an area of rebellion, not just a mistake, but an area of rebellion towards God, you're gonna go towards that and you're gonna go away from God. And then you're gonna have all other kinds of things that happen when you go away from God. Loneliness, depression, sense of rejection, a sense of isolation, a sense of powerlessness. These are all things you get when you're separated from God. No wonder we feel this as often as we do. But when I change my mind, repentance, this isn't an idea of somebody on a street corner who's holding a cardboard sign, who's yelling and screaming judgmentalism at us. Repentance is a beautiful word. It's like, man, I'm going the wrong way. Boom, I'm changing my gaze. I'm changing my mind, and instead, I'm going this way. This is where I am moving. I'm changing. I'm going from death to life. Yeah, there you go. Someone's getting happy now. Right. So I'm coming around the circle. And I come around the circle, my trajectory gets changed, and I come out on the other side. This is what the gospel is. This is what grace is. God enables us to do things and see things that we hadn't seen before. Charles Duhigg, in his book, The Power of Habit, he says this, for a habit to stay changed, people must believe change is possible. And most often, that belief only emerges with the help of a group. You're all here today at whatever campus you're in, whatever site you're in, whatever home, bar, coffee shop you're in, you're in there, and if you're watching it with anybody else, you're leveraging this right now. You are leveraging the power of a group. You're experiencing something in a group context, and in a little bit, I'm going to give you something to do in a group context. I'm not going to tell you what it is right now. If I told you right now, you'd be really freaked out, but over the next 10 minutes, I'm going to soften you up, and then you're going to find out what it is, okay? But this is tracing to this truth that we have to do things of potency in community. Psalm 32:1 says this, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Blessed is the one. Blessed is the man or woman against whom the Lord counts no iniquity. Doesn't count it. And in whose spirit there's no deceit. For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. When I kept silent, when I kept it to myself, when I kept thinking internally, when I kept going inside. But when I brought it out to somebody, when I confessed to somebody, when I brought it out into the light, there could be health and there could be wholeness. See, we have these things in our world, in our life, that I think are very harmful. We have these phrases that we've just taken as normal phrases in our culture. Phrases like, you be you. Live your truth. Don't let anyone tell you who you should be or what you should do. All these phrases, they're reminding us, no, you're your own person. Just stay inside of yourself and don't listen to a communal sense. Don't do that at all. And all of these things are outside the power of community, the power of grace. And when we do talk with somebody, we tend to just keep rehashing the old things and bring up all the old problems. I have a mistake. I do something. Something happens to me that shouldn't happen to me, like, a gerbil peed on me. Or a gerbil licked me and now I lick people. Let's just make one up. A gerbil licked me when I was with, now I lick people. And now we got this problem. It's not a sin, it's a problem, it's a mistake, it's a pain point. And so what do? I talk about it. I go to counseling about it. They patch me up and I go, okay, you're good. Yeah, I think I'm good. And then something happens, I'm triggered and I go back in and I start going this downward spiral. So I go and I share it. It's part of my story. It's who I am. It's who you are. It happened in your past, but is that really who you are? That pain is now your identity? That pain is your thing? So we go back into another self-help group. We go read some more self-help literature. We keep thinking about it. We go to another counselor. We keep thinking about it over and over and over and over and looking at it. And I'm okay to go back. I'm okay to look at things from different sides. But let me ask you this. Do you ever expect to be over it? Do you ever expect it not to define you? Here's the good news of Jesus Christ. The good news of Jesus Christ is he meets us where we are in that pain and he takes us out of it. He meets us where we are, and we repent. We change our mind saying, I'm not going to fixate in that anymore. That's not going to define me. I change my mind and I go another direction. This is the grace of God. And a lot of us don't know how to live without that thing. I got to keep saying that's my identity and that's who I am. No, it isn't. Well, what do you mean you be you? What do you mean you live your truth? See, these are anti-grace slogans. Those slogans say, you can't change, you'll never get over it, don't try. And those slogans are always said by people who don't understand grace. The power of God, the power of love, the power of mercy, the power to do things that you and I aren't normally wired to do on our own, but when the grace of God comes to us, we have capacities that are expanded. And we do bold moves. Like maybe tell somebody else and confess. Not tell somebody like, let me tell you my pain, but confess and say, this is something that I've done and it's sin and I need to move on. That kind of confession. That, my friends, is very rare, which is why healing is very rare in our culture. I'm not talking about physical healing, broken bones. That too. I'm talking about like emotional healing, relational healing, physical healing. We just don't see that kind of thing. Like, I am responsible for my part and I'm gonna say it It was sin, and I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? Man, that thing I just did right there, that's something you may have never said to anybody before. Have you ever said, I have sinned by blank, and I'm sorry, would you forgive me? Period. Not like, but let me tell you my backstory. No, who cares about your backstory? No, but let me tell you why I did. Why? Who cares? Are you saying you sinned? Or are you trying to justify why you are the way you are? This isn't about why you are the way you are. It's about you getting to a new place, a place that's empowered us by grace. In the book of James chapter 5, 15, it says this, and the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power and is working. That you may be healed, healed of bitterness, healed of anxiety, healed of depression. Whenever I meet somebody who deals with any of those things, fear, anxiety, depression, first question is always the same. Is there any sin you haven't repented of? I'm going to the deep end today, by the way. Are you okay with this? Are you okay with this? I don't care if you are or not. I'm going to tell you anyway, because I tell you what, I have a heart for you and I feel for you. And this is spiritual truth that just, I don't know where else you get this unless it's some sort of healthy Bible-believing church. This is just the way you are. And it's the way God has ordered your world to operate. It's the way of grace. And if you don't know this, you're not going to encounter his grace and his freedom and his healing in a powerful way. Let me tell you about one of my sins just this past week. I had to confess something to my wife. It's not that heavy. Relax. Just relax. Just relax your butt cheeks. It's not, I know, like, oh, no, relax. This is a relatively tame one, okay? I was coming home from work this last week, and long day. It was dark outside, and I needed to get some gas in my truck. So I pull up to the gas pumps, and there's a truck, like, the pumps right ahead on the one side of the island. And it's a truck. It's got like some junk in the back of it. It's got some, I can't tell if he's taking the dump or what he's got. He's got some stuff in the back. He's got the back tailgate that's down. He's got some straps in there. And so I'm going to pull up behind him in the next pump. And so I'm pulling up, and I don't want to hit him or that tailgate. So I stop. No, all good. Get out. I start going back, put my credit card in, pumping. And I see this guy looks, we're at the same island. This guy looks at me, he goes, and he walks the back of his truck, and he goes like this, and then he comes back, he looks at me, he goes, he's looking at me like that, and he goes back to his pump, he's pumping, and he's muttering, looking at me, and like, wrong time, wrong guy, dude. Especially when I look at you immediately and I know I can take you. Like, that's always when you're bold. When you look at somebody, I could take you, right? So I'm just bad mood, right? So I walked. What? What do you want? Plenty of room. Backs down. So I'm like, good, fine. So I go back. You're back, and I'm watching him. He's like swearing under his, he's giving hand signals. He's like trying to be sly about how he's giving me the finger by brushing his hair and stuff like that. And I'm going, all right. I was going to go inside and get something, and I can't do that now. I can't leave my vehicle here because this vehicle's gonna get damaged if I leave it. So I just stay there. I stay there, and while I'm staying there and he's done, I see his truck go away. He fortunately goes the opposite way that I'm going to go. And then it starts sinking in. I have a Kairos moment. Like, boom, I realize, okay, what is wrong with me? What is going on here? I reacted like I wanted to get violent really quickly. How tired am I right now? What is going on in my life right now? I know Jesus says, turn the other cheek, and I certainly did not turn the other cheek. What that was really stupid. I'm obviously not being like Jesus here. This is, I got to unpack this. This is not good at all. So I get done with my truck. I get in and I drive home and I'm thinking about it. I see Lib. I said, I got to tell you what happened. Not like, I just want to fill you my day, tell you something funny and laugh about it and like make you feel like your husband won't get pushed around. No, not, it wasn't that kind of thing. It was just like, this thing happened. It's horrible. I don't know what's going on with me. I was wrong. That's just sin. I gotta get to a new place. Right? We had some good words. And that was confession. And I was looking forward to it. I was looking forward to it because I knew she wasn't going to judge me. And I also knew God, though he was disappointed in me, he wasn't judging me because he's a God of grace. And I knew by bringing it out and talking about it, I would get a sense of healing. I would get a sense of closure from it. 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. When we say, hey, I don't have any sins, I'm just have some understandably flawed position, I just have some mistakes. When we say we make him a liar because his truth is always said, Jesus said, I, out of grace and love for you, I've gone to the cross. I've turned the other cheek eternally. I've gone to the cross and taken the justice for you so you don't need to. So if you think that you didn't need me to go to the cross because you're all good, it's all good, then you've made me a liar. I guess I didn't need to do that, huh? And Jesus says, I did that because I love you and because I have a purpose and plan for you. And because my grace is sufficient for you, I want to cover you with my grace. And one of the ways this comes out is with other people and confessing to other people, letting other people into your world. Dietrich Bonhoeffer was a German pastor. He died in prison as he was part of a plot to kill Adolf Hitler. And he was in Germany at the time, one of the very few pastors that had a backbone and was trying to stand up for truth, and he was doing that because he was motivated by grace, actually. He had a term that he coined called cheap grace. When we take it for granted and we abuse it. And in one of his reflections, he says this, when we confess our sins before a brother Christian, we are mortifying the pride of the flesh and delivering it up to shame and death through Christ. See, the pride of the flesh makes me want to say, hey, I'm understandably flawed. It's just a mistake. It's just that anybody would have done it. You would have done it too if you were in my position and you understood my story. This is all pride, which is another sin you could repent of, pride. And he continues and says this, then the word of absolution, we rise as new men, utterly dependent on the mercy of God. Confession is the genuine part of the life of the saints and one of the gifts of grace. Gift of grace. Jesus' most famous story he ever told, we've told her a number of times here. I'm not going to go all the way into it, but I want to look at an angle of it that we haven't gone into it, is in the book of Luke. It's the longest story that he ever told. It's known as the prodigal or the prodigal son. And again, I'm not going to go into the deep weeds on all the story, but let me just give you this background. Let me dig into an element of the story that I really haven't unplugged too much. Two brothers, one brother says to his father, younger brother says, Dad, I just don't want to be around you. I would rather have my own stuff. I don't want to work for you. How about we just pretend that you died and you give me my inheritance right now because I just want to go do my own thing. That's kind of what all of us naturally do. God, I really don't want to follow you. I really don't want to be in your family. Just give me the blessings that I might get someday so I can go do my own thing. Because I really don't want to do what you want me to do. I want to go out and do things. And so this father representing God does what God does for all of us. You don't want to be with me? Okay, fine. Go head out. Go away. Give your own life. And so the kid goes out and he spends all of his money on wine, women, and song. And he finds himself feeding pigs, which is a horrific thing in a Jewish culture to feed something that's unkosher. That's how low that he's gone. That's how much he's sunk down. That's how much healing that he needs. He needs financial healing. He needs relational healing. He needs spiritual healing. He needs physical healing because he's hungry. And here's where the story picks up. But when he came to himself. What does that mean? Came to his senses. This is a Kairos moment. He was like, whoa. What is going on? He has a Kairos moment here. When he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise, I'll go to my father, and I'll say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. He's practicing a confession. Father, I've sinned against heaven and you. Sinned against the constitution of heaven, all the truth that's represented in heaven, and sinned against you. There's no like, but God, but Father, he's not rehearsing his mind going, but Father, you know that I was frustrated in my older brother. But Father, you know, it's kind of hard to do all the things you want me to. Father, you know, that's what we do. Like we're okay to take some responsibility, but I get to give you all the backstory because my sin of pride is keeping me from actually giving the real reels. But this guy, he's come to a place of like, no, I'm practicing. This is all on me. This was just wrong. Verse 20. And he arose and he came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. This is our graceful heavenly Father. He gives grace even when we don't deserve it. Son doesn't deserve it. Son said, I wish you were dead. Son said, I want to leave you. But there's still love, acceptance, and grace available. And the son said to him, he just basically says what he's rehearsed. Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe, put it on him, put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it. And let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he's found. And they began to celebrate. He says, his actions say it all. He doesn't even have to say, I forgive you. You know he's forgiven me. He says, hey, put a ring on his finger. That's my identity. That's the family wealth. Put shoes on his feet so he can get up off the ground. Wrap a cloak around him. That's his identity. Wrap him in my identity. We're going to celebrate because I'm not, this man who Jesus is representing as God, he doesn't fixate on the past. We fixate in the past. We keep analyzing it. We keep doing it. But no, he doesn't. He's saying, oh, I don't need to talk about it anymore. You came forward, you confess, let's go, chop, chop. Do you realize you can have that with God right now? Do you realize whatever you've done, no matter what you've done, there is a graceful God who wants you to practice the grace of confession. Here at Crossroads, we're really holding out and praying and working for the dream of an awakening that the Spirit of God would sweep across our land and do amazing things in individuals' lives and in our culture. Revivals and awakenings are somewhat similar, some identical to many people, but I think there's some differences there. A couple years ago, there was a revival down at Asbury College in Kentucky. College kids and other people from all over the country were coming and worshiping 24/7 for on and on and on. It was really powerful and profound. At that college, Asbury College, it's a link to the Methodist and the Wesleyan tradition. It's named after Francis Asbury, who rode on horse 6,000 miles a year on horse to go to pioneer villages and share the grace of who Jesus was. Somewhere like 26 to 30,000 miles he's logged on a horse. If you've ever been on a horse ride for a mile, you have no idea. It is horrible. Horrible, right? Well, he comes from the tradition of John Wesley. He was discipled, he was built into by John Wesley that founded basically Methodism because of his methods. And his brother Charles Wesley was the musician and the hymn writer, and John Wesley was the author and preacher. Wesley would have 21 questions that he would ask people to consider as we considered our sin and our need for grace. I'm going to share these with you. I'll just go through them quickly, because oftentimes when we think of sin, we only think of like the big ones like adultery, embezzlement. Now, those are sin for sure. That's big stuff for sure. And there's grace that's sufficient to cover that. But what about the other ones that are just normal small sins of rebellion. I say small. I say small because it's never going to make the news. And normal people would say, oh, that's a big deal. What is a big deal? It's a big deal. Anytime we step outside of the standard of God that's there for our freedom, it's a big deal. It's a moment of rebellion. Here they are. I'll go through them so quickly. 21 of them. Am I consciously or unconsciously creating the impression that I am better than I really am? In other words, am I a hypocrite? In other words, do I have a social media account? Number two, am I honest in all my acts and words, or do I exaggerate? Do I confidentially pass on to another what was told to me in confidence? Can I be trusted? Am I a slave to dress, friends, work, or habits? Am I self-conscious, self-pitying, or self-justifying? Did the Bible live in me today? Do I give it time to speak to me every day? Am I enjoying prayer? When did I last speak to someone else about my faith? Do I pray about the money I spend? Do I get to bed on time and get up on time? You know, our bodies are created by God. He wants us to take care of them, so am I taking care of it? Do I disobey God in anything? Do I insist upon doing something about which my conscience is uneasy? Am I defeated in any part of my life? Am I jealous, impure, critical, irritable, touchy, or distrustful? How do I spend my spare time? Am I proud? Do I thank God that I am not as other people, especially as the Pharisees who despise the publicans, or especially the people who are in politics on the other side of the aisle? Is there anyone whom I fear, dislike, disown, criticize, hold resentment toward, or disregard? If so, what am I doing about it? Do I grumble or complain constantly? It'll take about a minute. I'm going to see if the Spirit of God might do something in you right now. I'm going to see if you have a Kairos moment, if you haven't already had one. Just see if these 21 things, is your heart drawn to it or repulsed by it? Is your mind drawn to it? Let's just see if God may be speaking to us. Okay, here's what we're going to do. We're going to give you the opportunity to come under the grace of God. We're going to give you the opportunity to have some healing. And you get to do this. You opted into this thing today because I think you wanted to get pushed and you want to get to another place. And I'm going to give you the opportunity to do that. You're going to get to confess. You're going to get to confess to somebody right beside you. It might be best if you see someone beside you who you don't know. It might be easier to confess to them. And this can be really, really quick. And if you don't want to, just cross your arms and look down and people get the clue. No, it's okay, maybe there's something else going on, fine. A lot of us are ready for this. You haven't done this before, but this could be a thing that unlocks some healing in you, some freedom in you. This is a moment to experience grace. So here's what you're going to do. You're going to turn to that person and you're going to say, my sin is that I, you're not going to give the backstory. You're not going to explain it. This isn't counseling. It's that my sin is that I blank. And then the person who's receiving, they're going to say something really easy. Even if they don't believe this, they're going to say this and this is going to be truth. It's going to be real, real simple. It's going to be, by the grace of Jesus, you are forgiven. By the grace of Jesus, and then we're going to switch. and then we're going to do something else. So I'm going to give you, here we go. It's time. It's time to step up and do something you haven't done before. Sometimes that's what spiritual growth is. This is a means of grace. So there's the script. Find somebody. It shouldn't take long. Person one, ready, go. Okay, good. Good. It's all you need, person one. That's it. I gave you more than enough time. Good. Okay, the person who was the receiver, now you're going to be the confessor. So go ahead, person two, confess to the person who just confessed to you. By the grace of Jesus, you're forgiven. You're forgiven, every one of you. You're forgiven. Good. I have developed a bit of a friendship with a guy by the name of Dallas Jenkins. He has created this series, the best series ever been done on Jesus, called The Chosen. And I was reminded of this scene that he did where there's a woman by the name of Mary Magdalene, also as Mary of Magdala. And it's said of her, she's one of the early followers of Jesus who was kind of with the 12 disciples, just hanging in that core. And it's said of her in the book of Luke that she had seven demons. Now, I happen to believe in literal, actual demons. So I believe it was just, she had literally seven demons. You could still get something out of it, even if you don't believe that she had demons, that maybe that was representative of seven things that were dragging her down. Whichever way you choose to go right now, I think you're going to connect with this clip as she is in this crazed state and she encounters the grace of Jesus for the first time.
Leave me alone.
Mary. Mary of Magdala. Says the Lord who created you, and he who formed you. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine.
Where is he?
In his tent.
Should I wait?
No. I will take you to him.
It's not you. Quite a lot going on right now. So it's good to have you back.
I don't know what to say.
I don't require much.
I'm so ashamed. You redeemed me and I just threw it all away.
Well, that's not much of a redemption if it can be lost in a day, is it?
I owe you everything. But I just don't think I can do it.
Do what?
Live up to it. Repay you? How could I leave? How could I go back to the place I was? And I didn't even come back on my own. They had to come get me. I just can't live up to it.
Well, that's true. But you don't have to. I just want your heart. The father just wants your heart. Give us that, which you already have. And the rest will come in time. Did you really think that you'd never struggle or sin again? I know how painful that moment was for you.
I shouldn't.
Someday. But not here.
I'm just so sorry.
Look up.
I can't.
You can.
I can't.
Look at me. I forgive you. It's over.
Suffer patiently for wrongs done to me, but vengeance isn't mine to take. So let me glory in my weakness until your strength revealed to me. It's your grace alone that helps me carry on to be the man I long to be. Let your life be perfected, Lord. Take sin shall be released, but for now he covers me.
There'll come a day that we won't have to think about a confession message anymore, because there'll be no need to confess someday. And in the moment, it's just a regular discipline of grace that we get to operate by. And we need to be reminded of it and see the beauty of him and the love, the joy he offers, the endless chances that he gives because of his mercy. So I'll close with this charge. Why don't we all stand up? Let's all stand up. I'm just going to speak the Bible to you because this is true for you. It comes from Psalm 103, verse 10. And here's what God says to you. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us in our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. Yes, that's the grace of God. Walk in it this week. Live it, breathe it. We'll see you next weekend.